Today's reading is the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Would you pray with me, please? Good and gracious God, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together here today to worship, both those of us that are physically here and those that are taking advantage of technology and able to join through remote means. But God, we ask you just to meet us where we are, wherever that might be, and to open our hearts and minds to the invitation of your Holy Spirit, that through you, with you, and in you, we will gain a better understanding of where you are calling us to go and how you are calling us to get there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we are now officially in Lent. So hopefully for those of you that chose a Lenten discipline, my heart goes out to all of you, and hopefully you are finding not an overwhelming amount of struggle with that. But one thing we like to do during Lent is do sermon series. And we are starting this new one called Rabbi Jesus. And what you're going to find here is this Sunday and the next couple Sundays, we're going to have really just pronounced teaching moments of Christ as he's making his way towards the end, right? We just came from Transfiguration last Sunday, which means we had that mountaintop moment, right? And now we're starting to make our way down, going into the valley to go where the gospel needs to go. And we're coming out the gate with a pretty controversial topic, and that topic is money. Yeah, money. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm a cradle Lutheran. I was born and raised in the Lutheran church. And I don't know what it was. Every major milestone in my life that I can ever remember, every time we bring up money in the church, it makes people a little uncomfortable. Right? You kind of see people squirming a little bit in their chairs. You're like, okay. Anytime you see like a pastor getting ready to talk about money, or maybe a council president or vice president comes up, or maybe it's the financial or treasurer or chair of council, everyone's just like, oh boy, all right, You're going to ask me for more money. Come on, I'm ready for another stewardship campaign. Here we go. Money seems to be this big thing, doesn't it? It's everywhere, right? When I was preaching over at All Saints a couple of Sundays ago, you know, I was drawing the connection, and if you listen to our podcast, Pastor Steve and I spoke about this too. There's a connection that exists between fear and faith. They're kind of like different faces of the same coin, because fear and faith want the exact same thing out of you. They want you to believe in something that has not yet happened. But isn't it weird that money seems to trump even fear? We are so quick to engage in acts of faithfulness and caring, but yet still money always seems to be a factor. Most times it's a barrier. Because let's be realistic, money is ingrained in everything we do and want to do. If we want to do a ministry, what do we need? We need money. We need people, obviously, right? Everybody here in this place, you tuning in online, we are the most valuable resource overall, but money's still a factor. I mean, we can't provide unless we have money to finance, whether it's buying things or paying for things. If we want to continue to worship, what do we need? We need money. Got to pay for the lights. Got to keep the water going, the heat on. It's cold outside right now. Who wants to worship in here when we can see our breath? Nobody, right? Money's just everywhere. I know, like, when I was contemplating going into ministry, I was sitting right around over here somewhere at the 8 o'clock service way back in 2017 when God finally hit me upside the head hard enough that my brain moved. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm supposed to be a pastor. But immediately my barrier started coming up, and I'm like, God, I can't be a pastor. I just got married, right? We want to have kids. Oh, both of these things are expensive, right? Spouses are expensive. I don't care if you're a husband or a wife or what. Spouses are expensive. And children, even more so, right? And I'm like, pastors don't make nothing. Oh, they live on grace, right? But the more barriers I put up, the more God said, you know what, Dave, you're focusing on the wrong thing. And that's the problem with money. Fear likes to weasel its way in, but money is loud. Money puts itself in the center, in the spotlight. And this becomes the heart of the problem we have today. Now, my father left the Lutheran church a long time ago, and he went kind of more non-denominational, Pentecostal. But because of that transition he made, I was introduced at a very young age to the prosperity gospel. And in that prosperity gospel, they're much more focused on money. Because they're like, hey, you know what? The more you give, the more God will give back. And I will tell you, I heard a lot of preachers in my younger years go back to this very same verse where Jesus says, look, everything you give up, God's going to multiply that by 100-fold. So clearly, the more you give, the more God will give back. So give more money to the church. Give more money to this. Just give, give, give. But yet on the flip side of that coin, in my Lutheran tradition, we look at this and like, yeah, but the young rich man, what happens? He can't. And Jesus then says, it's going to be very difficult for rich people to get into heaven. So what is it? Does God want us to have money, or does God not want us to have money? Well, in reality, it's both. But our focus is all wrong. Because money is not the subject of this problem. Trust is the subject of the problem. A lot of times when we read this, we think to ourselves, okay, this is vindication for us because we're not fabulously wealthy. Maybe you are, I don't know. But God clearly has something against fabulously wealthy people. But in reality, no. Right? This man who comes to the foot of Christ, what does Jesus do when he approaches? He looks upon him, and Scripture tells us that Jesus loves him. Because in his heart, he came for the right reason. He came to Christ seeking, what do I need to do to be part of your kingdom, to find eternal life and happiness? And Jesus says, all right, well, you know the law, so have you followed the law? Have you honored people? Have you been taking care of people? Have you been protecting people and caring for one another? And he's like, yes, since I was a kid. And Jesus doesn't challenge that. He doesn't say, have you really, though? Really? Are you sure? What about that one person on the donkey that cut you off? Right? Did you give him the bird? No, he doesn't do that. Jesus says, there's one thing you lack. And that's an important word, lack. He says, you need to sell everything and then come follow me. But that lack, what is he lacking? It's clearly not wealth. And it, honestly, it's not poverty. He doesn't lack in poverty. What he's lacking in is trust. It bears a need to be repeated. Anytime we encounter the word faith in Scripture, you need to be able to take that word and flip it to trust. I have faith that God loves me. I trust that God loves me. I have faith in Christ and the promises that Christ makes. I trust in Christ and the promises that Christ makes. I have faith that God will provide for my needs. I trust that God will provide. This young rich ruler lacks trust, and rightly so. He comes up to this moment as kind of a self-made man. He clearly has wealth, power, authority. People know him. He's well off. But he's been well off following things that are not God. He knows the systems and the rules, and he abides by them, and he does follow the law. But as we can see, when we truly follow God's law, we're following a life that leads us into loving, supportive relationship with one another, not for personal gain and glory, which is what the young ruler had. Yes, he has plenty of wealth to go along with it. I'm sure his disposable income was very nice, but it was all about him. Even his question to Jesus is still all about him. What can I do? How can I get eternal life? Jesus doesn't hate rich people. And Jesus doesn't want you to be destitute and sleeping in a ditch every night. But Jesus wants you to believe that God loves you enough to make sure you are taken care of. God wants you to trust enough that all of the blessings and accolades and accumulations and everything that we have here, whether it be numbers in a bank, letters behind or before our names, whatever it might be, God wants you to trust in God just enough that you are willing to let that go if Jesus asks for it. And there, honestly, there's the rub, because that's a difficult thing to do. It's hard to step out in faith, to be willing to part with the things that we know will help us. Like, this is my nest egg. This is my security blanket, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I do have like that emergency account in the bank. I'm like, well, you know, if I need something, I can dip into this. But if Jesus were to come up to me and say, Dave, I need you to pull all that money out and give it to this ministry over here, oh boy, would I struggle with that. I really would. So please do not think this is a moment where I am trying to endorse or encourage or convince all of you to go sell all of your liquidable assets and cut nice checks to the church, because that's not what I'm here to do. Although if you do, you know, yeah, thumbs up, two thumbs up. But that's not the point. The point here is, where does your trust lie? When we hit Transfiguration, the question I wanted all of you to bring through Lent is, who is Jesus Christ to you? So now, put that question through this lens of trust. Do you trust Jesus enough to let go of wealth, to let go of fame and glory and accolades? Do you trust Jesus enough to let that stuff go? Because that, it gets to the heart of the wealth that Christ is talking about. Jesus doesn't care about how much money you do or do not have. Jesus cares about what are you willing to do with it, and how much are you willing to trust God that doing God's work, you will be provided for. You wrestle with that, because I do it all the time. I'm really bad at this one, and I don't like it. Because even when I talk about money, I get squeamish. Because I'm like, oh man, if I'm telling you, that means I got to do it too. Oh, dang it, right? But seriously, where is the heart of our trust? Do we trust in that which we have accumulated, which we cannot take with us, which can be stolen, which can rust and fall away? Or do we trust in something greater than ourselves? At the end of the day, regardless if you are fabulously wealthy or not, this answer is clear. Jesus trusts you. Jesus believes in you enough to ask that question and to give you the opportunity to share in God's mission for this world. So if Jesus believes in you that much, can you believe in you the same? Go forward in Lent, continuing to challenge yourself and to move your trust closer and closer to Christ, a God who loves you unconditionally and has promised to provide for you always.